When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Make this new school year an opportunity for your kids to learn important life skills with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely while parents keep an eye on kids' money habits. Greenlight also helps families get into their fall routine with a chores feature that lets parents assign chores and pay kids' allowance when they check them off. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod. Greenlight.com/pod.
What is going on, good people? That intro music could mean only one thing, and that one thing is that you have tuned into the Overreaction Sports Podcast, and this is, in fact, that, and this is an Overreaction Sunday show. I am your host, Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. That handle again, at Joe Miller Wired, and what a day it is. It's time to celebrate Bills Mafia. We are officially, our Buffalo Bills are officially 7-3. And when you look at the schedule, when you just kind of look out and see what we've got coming, you know, obviously we have games on our schedule like the Cowboys. Clearly, we have the Patriots one more time. There's some games out there that look tough, but there's some games out there that look easy, and there's some games out there that look winnable. And I'm going to say, right, my prediction coming into the beginning of this season before we would come to the realization on what has been a little bit of a topsy-turvy season. It hasn't necessarily gone anything the way that we probably had thought that it would go. But my prediction at the beginning of the season was that we would go 9-7. 8-8 was my first thought, best case scenario, 9-7. And at this point, I'm staring down 10-6. Barring some sort of a letdown, some sort of a setback, I think we're staring down 10-6. I think our remaining wins are next week against the Broncos, gets us at 8. I think we beat the Jets, which gets us to 9, last game of the season. And I'm missing a game in here somewhere. Oh, that's right, the Steelers. So those are my games. That's how I have us getting to 10. Now, when I watch the things that I watch in the NFL, and I don't know how many of you tuned into the Eagles and Patriots game, that Patriots team still looks vulnerable to me. And I'm not saying that we're going to win that game, but I'm saying that there's a good chance that we're going to push them. But Belichick being Belichick and Belichick and the Patriots being the Patriots, you never know what we're going to get the second time around. But before we look farther on down the road, let's just take in for a minute where we sit currently as Bills fans, Bills Nation, Bills Mafia, 7-3, baby. How does that make you feel? How does that make you feel? Victory Monday is upon us. Once again, we now officially have more Victory Mondays this year, 2019, than we had in 2018. We have 7. This is our 7th Victory Monday. And as we all know how it feels, it always feels better when the Buffalo Bills win on Sunday and Victory Monday is upon us. And I think we've got a couple more coming up. And I think this is just the beginning, folks. I think this is just a precursor to what is being built here. We've been told, and it's at times been a joke, and at times we've been all about it, but we've been told that there's a process in place. I think the process, the original expectation that was put in front of us was something like 5 years. We are 3 years into this semi-rebuild. And things are looking up, things are progressing, things are going forward. I'm very encouraged. I've been beating up the Bills for the last couple of weeks about basically running the same garbage out there on that football field. Meanwhile, coach speak has been given to us and given to the media, telling us about how they're going to fix it. They're going to watch the tape. They're going to, you know, work on the things where they're not executing and that type of stuff. And it was very encouraging for me, and as I think it was for all of you. The vibe that I'm getting from Twitter and just social media in general is that we saw some different things today. We saw the Bills do some different things today, which included Dable being up in the box, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But again, 7-3, Victory Monday. I hope this podcast finds all of you excited. I hope it finds you in a place where you just can't get that grin off your face. I don't care if it was the Miami Dolphins. I don't care if there's radio personalities out there telling you that this is not a team that we can basically judge ourselves against. A win is a win in this league, and the reality is this team needed this win. And though it may not have been a statement win, I can tell you, for me, this was the most complete game that this team has put together this year, maybe since last year. This was the most complete game that this team has put together, and it is an encouraging sign. For me, it just, everything points upward. I don't want to say that we're peaking, but if this is kind of a getting back to basics, getting back to fundamentals, getting back to what it is and that we do well and who we are and finding an identity of a team, identity for our team, this is without a doubt the perfect time to be doing that. You don't want to peak week two. You don't want to peak week three. You want to peak somewhere around week 12, 13, and 14 and then carry that momentum into the playoffs. And I'm not saying that that's going to happen for us, meaning that we're going to have momentum going into the playoffs. I do see the playoffs in our future. And the reality is when you get there, you don't know what could happen. And today we had somebody, and I forget who it was off the top of my head, but you better believe that I'm going to be bringing it up. Somebody on Twitter today threw out there, well, one of the people that I follow threw out there today that, if Josh Allen threw 400 yards, he was going to get J.A. tattooed on his left butt cheek. And then somebody else one-upped it and basically said that if Josh Allen wins us a playoff game, that he was going to get Josh Allen hurtling his ass crack. So basically, he's going to get a tramp stamp, an ass crack, a Josh Allen hurtling ass crack tramp stamp if Josh Allen ever wins a playoff game as a Buffalo Bill. And the best part about that is he didn't like qualify or quantify the statement. He didn't say this year. He didn't say next year. He didn't say ever. He just said when it happens. So you better believe I'm going to be digging through screen capturing that one and keeping it forever and holding some feet to the fire, because that one would be fun. It was obviously all in good fun, but that's something that I want to see come to fruition. That would be utterly amazing. So I want you guys to fight whatever feeling you have that makes you believe that this team still isn't good enough. So we're 7-3. We just beat the Miami Dolphins. We're on an uptick. There was a lot of corrections made. We saw some things today that we have not seen in a while. We saw some aggressiveness from this defense we may have not seen. I don't know when the last time I saw a house blitz was. We saw a house blitz today in the second quarter. But I want you to do me a favor. If you're listening to this show, if you listen to me regularly, if you are somebody that considers yourself a fan or a friend of my show, first of all, thank you. But if you are that person, you know, and if you've been listening to me for even a couple of weeks or a couple of episodes, I'm about expectations. And I'm about setting realistic expectations around, I guess, for lack of a better way of saying it, our fandom. So I want you to fight whatever feeling you have that makes you believe that this team isn't good enough. I want you to fight it. I don't want you to think about 300-yard football games. Ryan Fitzpatrick had one today. He lost. I don't want you to think about long passes and deep balls. I don't want you to think about Levi Wallace. I don't want you to think about the kicking game or the kick return game. I don't want you to think about Steven Hauschka. I don't want you to think about the things that potentially are going to make you or put you in a situation where that smile is wiped off your face today. I'm going to say it again. Fight whatever feeling you have that makes you believe or could make you believe that this team isn't good enough. And here's why. They're not good enough. And I'm not saying that to bring you down. The Buffalo Bills are 7-3. Did you hear me? The Buffalo Bills are 7-3 with a project quarterback who still, in my opinion, hasn't even come close to scratching the surface of what his ceiling is going to be or might not be. The Buffalo Bills are 7-3 with a defense that still needs work. The Buffalo Bills are 7-3 with an offensive line that at times does well, and today they played well. Josh Allen got off the dirt walked off that field today without hitting the dirt once. The Buffalo Bills are 7-3 with some potential or possible coaching changes that are needed. This is not a complete team. The Buffalo Bills are 7-3, returning only 9 offensive starters from last year who maybe after today are just starting to gel and play together. Fight whatever feeling you have that makes you believe or makes you want to believe or gets you scared or makes you nervous that tells you that this team isn't good enough, again, because it's not. And that's the best news I can give you today. Victory Monday. The best news that I can give you going into Victory Monday is this team is 7-3, just played its most complete game of the season, has a quarterback who is hopefully beginning to put it together as he continues to progress, has a young stud running back, has a wide receiver group that is coming through for him, has a defense that basically terrorized that Miami Dolphins offense. I think today they finished the first half with 0 rushing yards. The Bills are 7-3, and there's a lot of development left to go. There's a lot of progress that they can make. There's a lot of things, as Sean McDermott said in his presser today, there's some things they can fix. That should put a bigger smile on your face today, fam. That should make you really excited for what could be. Not only if they are able to put it together, find some momentum, peak at the right time going into this offseason, maybe win a playoff game. You get to the playoffs, you don't know what could happen. But even more for next year. What this team, who this team is going to return, the gel, the unity, the team factor, the culture that is going to continue to build after this year, after they continue to buy into what McDermott and this coaching staff is trying to accomplish. And oh, by the way, they've got something like $90 million to spend. Family, my Bills family, you should be walking around like you got a secret today and nobody else knows it. Because you do. You do, fam. This team is going to progress. This team is going to continue to move. This team is going to continue to make mistakes. It's going to excite you. This team is going to upset you. This team is going to frustrate you. It's going to make you fanatical. And I just want you to enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. With everything inside of you, do everything you can to enjoy every moment of it. So yeah, I'm going to be honest with you for a second as I digress into the rest of my notes and kind of work through this, just the information that I want to talk to you about tonight. But I wish I had made this trip to Miami. I wish I had made the trip down. I made the trip down. I don't remember if Kyle, this is odd for me because I rarely forget football games that I attend. But I did. My dad and I made it down to, I think it was the last Thursday night game that we played in Buffalo, or I'm sorry, in Miami against the Dolphins. It was before the roof. So I don't remember. I want to say Kyle Orton was the quarterback, but it may have been Tyrod Taylor. I'm not sure because I know Sammy Watkins was on the team. I know we lost the game. So it was the last time. And that was a blast, but by no means. I mean, there's just a different culture around this team as it pertains to its fans. And Bills Mafia, and everything that's been going on, whether it was in Nashville or Miami this week, I'm just disappointed in myself for not going. So if you got to go, color the rest of us jealous, color the rest of us green with envy because you guys had a great time, you enjoyed a great game, the Bills really showed out for you. So hopefully you put your head to the pillow and just went to bed with a smile and woke up today feeling like $1 million because the rest of us didn't get to get there, but you did, and we're all jealous. So my buddy, it's funny because before this game, my buddy, and this is a hard segue, hard transition, but before this game, my buddy, I don't know why I'm thinking about it, but I am, my buddy Matt, who I've talked to you guys about before, you can find him on Twitter, @Flagus, FLAGGUS. My buddy Matt said to me, as we were sitting in the green room this morning. He was like, so what should I expect from the Buffalo Bills today? And Matt, who's a good friend of mine, who listens to my show, I said to him, I started off with, well, if you listen to my show, you would know what I'm about to say. And he kind of laughed. He's been busy. He's been in the woods hunting, which I told some of you to do on Friday. Go hunting if you can't find happiness with the Buffalo Bills. That's not why he went hunting. He went hunting because he loves to hunt. He got two deer on his first day, which is awesome for him. But he asked me, he said, so what should I expect from the Buffalo Bills today? To which I said, well, we're going to see one of two things. Or, I mean, there could be a third. They could do something we completely don't expect, which is number three. So they could come out. So I'll start with number three. They could come out and they could put something out on that field that none of us expected, that the Dolphins didn't expect. Good or bad, we could just be like, holy crap, wasn't expecting that. However, my first thought was they could put out what we have seen over the last several weeks. They could also respond to the changes or to the changes that needed to be made or respond to the tape that they've watched, respond to the comments that they've gotten, respond to the lack of execution in places, whether it's from failing or missing assignments all the way to just not being good enough and changing out players and putting certain players on the bench that need to be put there. And as I began to break that down for Matt, I just basically said, you know, if we see something we're not expecting, then I don't know what to tell you. I said, however, if we do this in reverse order, number two, if we see them respond, then I think it means great things. I think it means great things as we've talked a lot here just about Sean McDermott as a leader, Sean McDermott as the head coach, Sean McDermott as the person who sets expectations and holds people to those expectations. My feeling was that if we saw them respond, clean up the defense, and not put the same lack of identity, clunky, weird, herky-jerky offense out there, that we will have seen or witnessed a measure, a great deal of accountability. That's what we saw today. And I also said to him, I said, and if we see number one, which is more of the same, then buckle up because things are going to go sideways and this year is going to go in the crapper in a hurry. And I'm excited to let you know that's where I was going with this. I was just basically jumping off on just enjoying the journey. I was excited to see, as I know Matt was too, because he gave me his prediction for the game and it wasn't a good one. I wasn't happy with Matt when I talked to him. But I understand his reasoning, and he probably had a similar reasoning to a lot of you that just we've seen this before. But when it comes to enjoying the journey, this is part of it. Seeing them make changes, seeing them hold each other accountable. McDermott talked about it in his presser again today, also talked about in his presser today, just the film study and the preparation and that things changed this week. And it's funny because I have to ask myself, why do we lighten up? Why do we slough off? Why do things not stay the same? If we have learned or are learning how to prepare, why are we not staying in that mode of preparation? But I'm so glad that we saw them respond. I'm so glad that we saw people rise back to the standard that is expected of them. And it's just really awesome to be watching this thing happen. So yeah, ladies and gentlemen, just do me a favor. Do everything you can within your power to enjoy the journey because it's going to be a fun one. Let me grab a sip of water here. What I want to do now is I want to read some tweets. And I'm sorry if that's like totally unprofessional, like drinking water while I usually drink a beer, but I didn't have one tonight. I had one. I just had one earlier. I didn't need one now. Anyway, so I want to read some tweets that you guys sent to me just as far as how you guys are feeling. I got some new folks up in here, which is awesome. So Eric Dosch at Edosch, D-O-S-C-H, 81, buddy of mine said, game couldn't have gone better. Couldn't have gone better. Defense played great, and Josh was dynamite. Special teams was a puke job, but overall, a great game. Yeah, we'll get into that just a little bit. Brian Faulkner, my buddy Brian, at BMAX for Christ, basically just sent me the Carlton dancing gif, which is about all you need to know, because that's pretty much how I feel about it. Right? I'm pretty excited. I'm really, really pleased with what I saw today. Dave at Go Bills UK said it was a pretty complete win, but we still managed to make it nervous, which is a worry. We just can't kill teams off. Dolphins aren't a good team, and they gave up some really great penalties. Offense uses too much shotgun, which doesn't help Allen. However, 7-3 with the celebration horns. I'll be honest with you, just responding to this tweet. I agree. It felt to me as though the defense basically let up. There was a sloughing off that was they weren't attacking the ball. They weren't attacking the ball carrier. The tackling itself just got a little bit loose in the third quarter. And there's an amount to that of suffocating them, right? Of just not letting them off the mat. And we're currently still kind of letting people off the mat. So as much as there's people on Twitter that don't believe in the phrase taking your foot off the gas, there was a measure of taking the foot off the gas that kind of happened today. So appreciate that that tweet, Dave. 1961 through 2017 at Bills Fan UK. I got two Bills Fan UKs on here. So I got some foreigners listening to me, which is really cool. Josh Allen making the offense tick with the intermediate to deep throws. The kid was sharp today. I don't know what people need to see. I know there's people out there still calling him trash, but the kid was sharp today. Absolutely. AW at ALWE85. At ALWE85. Need to beat Denver. So he's looking forward. He's on to next week already. He's not even taking 24 hours to celebrate. He's already talking about Denver, who lost. That was an interesting game. That was, I don't know how many of you saw any of the Twitter information or saw just kind of the stuff on Twitter as it pertains to that game in general. But they were up a lot. I can't remember if it was, I think it was 20-0 at one point. And then the defense let up and let their opponent right back in the game. And they ended up getting thumped. And then they blamed the quarterback. Sound familiar? Because apparently the quarterback plays defense. So need to beat Denver, New England, Dallas, and Baltimore will be tough. The good news is I'm not so sure that we need those wins to make the playoffs. And obviously the playoffs aren't the end-all, be-all goal, but they are one of the goals that we have right now. Dave Thorpe at Saxa Dave, who is a friend of the show. He's been he connects with me all the time. So I enjoy talking back and forth with Dave. I appreciate the interaction, bro. Great overall game, if not a little concerning at times. Just why do we keep letting teams off the hook? We should have been 31-7 at the half and out of sight, but a couple of crazy lapses and a great kick return almost ruined a great first 30 minutes of football. However, 7-3 is friggin' awesome, and he's right. It is. Broncos and Steelers are both winnable, too. I feel the Cowboys will need a bit of luck, but not an impossible task. Hauschka had the perfect answer, as did the D. 7 sacks and only 23 yards rushing. Josh was fearless. Brown was awesome. Go Bills. And that's what I've got for you. And that is those, for all intents and purposes, that is the feeling of the night or of the day for what we saw on the field. I mean, there was a lot. Everybody seems to be super excited. There's a couple negative Nancys out there, but for the most part, everybody's excited with a little bit of a dip. Just as far as the let up on special teams, Danny Crossman got his revenge, right? So if this is a revenge game, then Danny Crossman got his revenge today in one kickoff return that he could not do here ever. It seemed like he was like the worst special teams coordinator ever when he came back to Buffalo. It was ridiculous. Anyways, but so those are just some thoughts on the game. These are my thoughts as far as what I was watching. What I saw out of this game. I don't know how you guys feel. I mean, I see it on Twitter. You know, Josh Allen today, he threw for 256 yards. I've got his stats here. He ran for 57. What is he? 21 of 33, 256 yards, 3 touchdowns. He had a rating of 117.7. He also ran for 7. He ran 7 times for 56 yards and a touchdown as well. He didn't get sacked today. He didn't throw an interception today, which makes 5 straight games he did not throw an interception. And, oh, by the way, he didn't fumble today either. Singletary did. But I don't know what Josh Allen – we've talked a lot about Josh Allen, and I don't have expectations that we won't be talking a lot about Josh Allen even into next year. I've told you guys I feel that, like, Josh Allen, we're not going to know exactly who Josh Allen is or begin to see, like, truly peeled back the layers to know – a lot about who Josh Allen is until probably game 8 of next season. And then we'll know, in my opinion, is there a ceiling there? Where the ceiling is? Is there more to be found? Is there more underneath the surface? Does this kid have more room to grow? Does he have more opportunity to grow, which isn't a bad thing? Could he be better than what we even think he is game 8 of next season? But I see a kid that's getting smarter. I see him doing vet things. I see him doing savvy things, like when he caught the defense subbing today. That's a savvy veteran quarterback thing. Got the team to the line. The Dolphins were trying to make a late change, and Josh caught him. Got free 5 yards out of it. So I see a kid that's getting smarter. Allen today was crisp. I felt he was sharp. I felt he was safe. He was dangerous today. To me, he looked like a young franchise quarterback. Today, he looked like a guy that when he puts it all together, game 21, when he puts it all together, there's going to be something there. There's going to be something that we're going to be able to hold on to for a very, very long time. One thing I'm sick and tired of hearing about is this. He doesn't go through his progressions, his reads narrative. And I think there's something to be talked about there. And, you know, we have resources as fans for the Buffalo Bills. We've got what I would call great places to go to get information, to see breakdowns of film, whether it's yards per pass or the cover one guys or just some other people like that, who have shown us and told us over and over again that Josh Allen is being asked to do things at the line that none of the other 2018 quarterbacks are being asked to do, whether it's change protections or change play calls or get them out of a bad play or things like that. He's being asked to do things, Josh Allen is, that not even Jared Goff is being asked to do as it pertains to some of that stuff. We've also been told by these guys that know more, way more about football than I do, X's and O's, that Josh Allen does go through his progressions. He goes through his reads. We saw it a bunch today. And I'm pretty much, I'm not to the point of being over stuff, but I'm over that thing. We saw him, and you watch his head turn, and you watch his head bounce from receiver to receiver before he either takes off of the ball, throws it away, or lets the ball go. He is going through his progressions, but I think where we get caught as fans is sometimes he doesn't come off of his first progression, his first read. And what happens is there's people like me, like you, like your neighbor in the cubicle next to you, or the guy driving down the street next to you that doesn't know as much about football. And we think that because Josh has a first read, he doesn't come off of his first read and he forces the ball or he throws the ball to his first read or he hangs with his first read a little longer than we think he should, that somehow that means he's not going through his progressions. And even though it looks like, and I would admit to you and say that, well, in that case, he didn't go through his progressions, I think there's more to the story. I think there's more to what's going on there. I think there's a coverage there or something that he's seeing or the defense that is being played against him that is locking him in there. I don't think it's a situation of I'm locked on to Pat DeMarco on this play and I can't let him go because I'm scared to death and I'm afraid to look around the field because I'm just not a great quarterback. That's not what we see from Josh Allen. What we see from Josh Allen is a kid that when it's time to go through his reads, time to go through his progressions, depending on what the defense is giving him, depending on the play that has been called, the play that he's put them into and the protections that he's given them, he's going through his reads and his progressions. We saw it a bunch today. We saw it last week. So if you're still one of the people that aren't sure about Josh Allen when it comes to his reads and his progressions and going through them, does he go through them all the time? No. Sometimes I know that he gets spooked a little bit. Is he going through them all the time when he's hot on a read and like he knows that he's got man-to-man someplace or he's got zone with a man open and based on the coverage that he's being given? No, he still hangs on a read there. But don't be discouraged in thinking that those two things means that he never goes through his progressions, that somehow he's Drew Bledsoe. And I don't know how many of you remember Drew Bledsoe. Drew Bledsoe would lock onto a guy and he would not let him go. Drew Bledsoe would drop back in the pocket. He'd get the snap. His eyes would immediately go to Eric Moulds, and he would watch Eric Moulds run down the field and run his route. And then he would finally throw the football. Wouldn't even look at anybody else. That is not what Josh Allen has given us. I'm not saying that he's there. I'm not saying that he's arrived. I'm just telling you that the signs are there of all the things that you want to see from a young quarterback. He's doing it. He's looking off safeties. He's using his eyes to move people. He had a couple little shoulder hitches in there that pulled guys. He was a dangerous, dangerous quarterback today. His play fakes were on point. Guys, I'm excited. I tweeted it today when he had that, whatever it was, that 49-yard run or 47-yard run. Josh Allen is my ride or die. Right now, I'm all in on this kid. I've seen some things and that I'm not completely sure are all his fault. But this, like, like my chips are in the middle of the table, right? I mean, isn't that where you are with this kid? Aren't your chips in the middle of the table? And it's funny too, because I don't want to say there's a book, but there's a little bit of a book on how to attack this offense. And one of the ways to attack this offense, because Devin Singletary is so dynamic already, and we haven't even seen what this kid can do yet, defenses come in here and they stack the box against us. And then they play man on the outsides because they have to for the most part, but they also play man on the outsides. And Josh Allen is getting a bad rap, and we've heard it said, I think 3 weeks in a row now by the announcers, that Josh Allen, they said it today, Josh Allen has trouble beating man coverage. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I think the reality is defenses are coming in here and they're stacking the box because Devin Singletary is special. That part is true. And I think they're playing man coverage against us because for the most part, our receivers are having a hard time getting open and beating press and man coverage. So as much as there's people on Twitter, and I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. Like, this isn't a situation where I want to call anybody out. I love John Brown. John Brown had a monster day today. John Brown is going to have a career year here again with Josh Allen as his quarterback. But there's people saying that we don't need a number one wide receiver. We still need that guy. I'm telling you, we need that guy. We need that one guy that, if he is single covered, man in man coverage, is always open no matter what, and they have to force double to triple coverage on the guy. That's what this offense is missing. And until Josh Allen gets it, we're going to continue to see Josh Allen gets it, meaning he gets this big wide receiver or this guy that can always get open. He doesn't have to be big. OBJ isn't big. But until he gets it, we're going to continue to see a stacked box against Devin Singletary with man coverage. So they're going to have to find some ways to beat it. But Josh Allen, man, today they passed when they should have passed. They ran the ball when they should have ran. I'm not saying that they were predictable. I felt that they were balanced. It was great. It was everything that we've been needing to see for the last several weeks. And it kind of makes you wonder where it was when we needed it last week, right? I mean, obviously I was going somewhere with that comment. Last week. This is the game plan that they executed today was the game plan they needed against the Browns. The Bills are possibly sitting at 8-2 right now. Actually 9-1 if they run that same game plan against the Eagles. So I don't know what it is. I'm not a fly on the wall in the locker room. I don't get to be in the conversations with the coaches. But I really liked what I saw from Josh Allen today. I really loved the game plan. And I just really loved what I saw from our football team today. It was incredible. I hope you guys were happy too. Along that same vein, I felt that the third quarter got a little sleepy for me. Between the defense and the offense, like I said, I felt the defense let up a little bit. I felt like they weren't attacking that first quarter when the Dolphins when there was a couple plays in particular, the screen pass that Fitzy threw to his left, and like the darting of the defensive backs to the ball and to the player and everybody like rushing to the ball was a thing of beauty. It was something we haven't seen in a while. And I felt in the third quarter that kind of went away again. But I mean, the sleepiness in the third quarter is a little strange to me. I don't know what's happening there. And I know the offense still executed and they got some points in the third quarter, I believe, but it just wasn't the same level, right? They weren't at the same push. They weren't at the same drive. They weren't at the same excitement level. Everything that they were doing in the first and second quarter, it seemed to fall off a little bit in the third, and then it came back in the fourth. So, and that's just me being a little bit picky, and I'm not trying to be that guy. It's hard to come up with anything bad from this game outside of a kick return that was returned for a touchdown, which could have, you know, I mean, obviously it would have been 37-13 at that point instead of 37-20. But yeah, so things that I'm overreacting to, this is what we all tune in for, right? We want to know what Joe's thinking, what Joe's feeling, and what Joe's either really excited about or really freaking out about. So the first thing that I'm overreacting to is this. I loved Brian Daboll up in the box today. And for those of you that don't remember, Brian Daboll started up in the box last year. That's where when Brian Daboll came into this team as the offensive coordinator last year, he started in the box and Josh Allen was having trouble. This was before Josh Allen got hurt, if I'm not mistaken. And there was a communication or a conversation between Josh Allen and Brian Daboll during the week last year sometime. And they made a decision to have Brian Daboll come down on the field so that he could, like, basically look into Josh Allen's eyes and get inside of his head and ask him questions man to man and, like, go through things. And I think that we're at the point, I think Brian Daboll sees better. I think he sees the field better. McDermott talked about it today from the box. I think he can get a better feel for what the defense is doing against us versus being on the sideline. And I think Allen, another good thing, Allen has matured to the point where he doesn't need his offensive coordinator standing next to him, sometimes yelling at him if he threw a hero ball and it got intercepted. But that's where he started. He started up in the box. What do I got here? Josh Allen, he also threw 33 times today. So the balance of the offense I liked. And I don't know if that came from just the game plan in general or if that came from I'm sorry, I was a little confused by my notes. I don't know if that came from Josh, from the game plan. It's, I don't know if they came into the game expecting to be more balanced or if Daboll just felt the game better from the box, from the booth. I don't know if he was up there watching what the defense was giving them and just felt that a more balanced attack. So, I mean, Josh Allen threw 33 times, and then we rushed for 34 times, although not all of those were necessarily designed runs. Some of those were Josh Allen runs. So for me, I loved Daboll up in the box, up in the booth. We'll see. McDermott said, we'll see if he stays up there or not. To me, that's a winning combination. Let's get him up in the box. Let's keep him up in the box. The mustache was great. I can't believe he shaved that epic beard off, but the mustache, hopefully the mustache stays. And, we've got Baker Mayfield a couple weeks ago who shaved his mustache or his handlebars off because he felt he wasn't worthy of it. Daboll today was worthy of the mustache. He killed it. One of the other things that I'm overreacting to today, the kickoff thing, and we've talked about it already a little bit. I don't know what to tell you. Stephen Hauschka, we've watched him do it for years, can boot the football out of the back of any end zone in the NFL. Every football field is the same length. Hauschka could kick it through the back of the end zone. I don't know what they felt they saw today that they felt like they had to bait the Dolphins, or I don't know if they were trying to play a field game, you know, as far as like field, like where they're going to get the ball, if there was a possession game that they were trying to play as far as field possession. I don't know what the story was, but it bit him hard. It almost bit him twice. The dude ran it out twice. So he ran it out once and got the touchdown. Then he ran it out again, I think for 50 yards. So I don't know what the coaches saw. I just don't understand what they were thinking and why they felt that it was a good idea to kick the ball to the five or the three or the two or the one and let them bring it out constantly. Because at some point in time, it's going to bite you. And I don't know that our special teams has shown us anything this year to tell us, well, we got like the best special teams in the NFL. So we're just going to like let you run it back and we're going to stuff you at the 10 and, you know, good night, sweetheart, because we're basically going to smother you. And that's not what we saw today. So the Bills were definitely baiting them into all these returns, and return they did. I don't need to see that again. Hauschka can kick it out the back of the end zone. Just kick it out the back of the end zone. Like, why are we having this conversation? I don't know how the field position thing, how they felt it was, maybe it was helping us. I don't know. I mean, I don't think Allen was having a problem. I don't think Allen needed to get the ball back at the 45, at his own 45, in order to score touchdowns today. He was pretty much on fire. So, and I think that's a product of just the balanced game plan. So I know it's a three-phase game. I just don't understand that part of it. So that's just me. And then the last thing that I am super, super overreacting to is just this defense. This defense was awesome today. They were on fire today. Ed Oliver had his first, there's the official sack and then there's the official sack. So the official sack was a couple weeks ago. His first official sack on a quarterback was today. And then the other impressive play that Oliver made, I don't know how many of you caught it, but Ed Oliver, defensive tackle, rookie defensive tackle, caught Devontae Parker from behind today, which was a thing of beauty. And I don't want to project and say that I know for sure, but it felt to me, or it looked to me, like Devontae Parker, when he got up, was surprised that it was Ed Oliver who caught him from behind, which I thought was pretty priceless. It was great. He had two tackles today and one assist. Tremaine Edmonds, 5 tackles, 7 assists today with a half sack. That dude was on fire today. And then Matt Milano, I don't know what can be said. I tweeted today that they need to, before the plane lands, they need to resign this guy. This kid is electric. When he's not on the field, the defense misses him. He was wreaking havoc out there today. He had four tackles with three assists, a half a sack. There was just an overwhelming return of the defense that we saw today, right? I think the only real mark on that defense that we saw today was Tre'Davious White gave up his first 100-yard receiver today. But you know what? It's going to happen. To me, that's not that big of a deal. I don't think you can go 16 games without giving up a 100-yard receiver to somebody at some point. But the jailbreak blitz was a thing of beauty. I actually paused the game and rewound it and show my daughter what a jailbreak blitz was in that moment. So I actually paused the game and rewound it and then like played it for her a couple times so she could just see, you know, what we saw. And there was two guys. They had so many guys come. I think two guys came free. So it was just a thing of beauty to see that defense return. That's pretty much all that I have for you guys. I think the only thing that I want to leave you with, or the last thing that I want to talk about, is just the injury thing to Ty Nsekhe. It didn't look good to me, and I know we don't have any information, but the fact that they put it in a soft cast before he left the field, the way that he was rolled up on and the way that his ankle rolled back, he's a big man. And big men like that, when they go down backwards like that, it's never a good sign. And I'm not going to speculate and say that he broke something or didn't break something. I'm just really concerned, not only for him, but also for our offensive line. The reality is, for me, Ty Nsekhe, losing him is a big loss. Whether you want to think that it's a big loss because of, you know, Cody Ford, and it puts Cody Ford kind of in the hot seat, or it's a big loss just because it's nice to have a swing guy, and Ty Nsekhe is a great swing guy. We've been playing him at right tackle. That's not even where he excelled last year, playing left tackle. But Ty Nsekhe, to me, feels like a big, giant, warm blanket, right? That's just a feeling that I get from him. He's a big, giant, warm blanket. Like, we got this young stud, this Cody Ford guy, who I like. I love the Cody Ford pick. But Cody Ford has struggled a little bit this year. So there's always been this comfort, this warmth, this thing, knowing that, like, Ty Nsekhe's behind him. We got this $10 million guy, you know, this free agent guy that we brought in, that can fill in if we need him. So, best wishes out to Ty Nsekhe tonight. I'll be praying for him, and I hope you guys are too. It didn't look good, and he looked really, really upset. Even when he got past where, you know, the fans could see him, and he got up inside the tunnel. I don't know if you saw it, but he was clearly frustrated and upset as far as just the emotions that you could see, kind of his body language and what was on his face. So prayers out to Ty Nsekhe tonight. Hopefully the report won't be as bad as, you know, it's just been such a road. If you know anything about his story, it's amazing. And if you haven't, if you don't know about his story, I would encourage you to look it up. It's a great story. It's a story of overcoming and continuing to have to overcome and continuing to have to overcome. He's constantly overcoming to get to where he was this year. So, don't mean to leave you guys on a downer. Just keep him in your thoughts and keep him in your prayers tonight. At the end of the day, these are real human beings. These are real people, just like you and me. And I'm sure he's upset and probably in some pain tonight. So just, keep him in your thoughts and prayers. So with that, I'm going to let you guys go. It is, what a day. What a victory Monday. What a game. What a comeback. And I don't mean comeback from behind, but what a return, right? What a turnaround. What a complete game. I don't want to say it's a statement game, but what a complete game we got to see today. And if this doesn't get you juiced for the rest of the season, I just don't know what will. I'm not saying that the Bills are making the playoffs. I'm not saying that we're going to win another game, but I'm excited and I am juiced for what's to come. So with that, I want to thank you guys for listening to me. This has been the Overreaction Sports Podcast. This was an Overreaction Sunday. As always, do me a favor. I say it every time. If you like what you hear, if you're enjoying listening to me ramble on, please tell a friend. Please retweet. Please tweet about me. Please throw something out there and let people know. Tell them that they should listen. Tell them to turn off their radio and start listening to podcasts, because let's be honest, the information that we're giving you and the positivity and the feel that we're giving you is way better than what you're getting from radio stations anymore around this town. For the most part, there's a couple guys that are great on the radio, but there's a couple that aren't. If you like what you hear, please retweet it. Interact with me on Twitter, you know, tweet at me. Don't be afraid to direct message me. I got some friends of the show, that direct message me and ask me questions all the time. I love the interaction. I love the conversation. I'm not a know-it-all. I'm not a jerk. If I don't know, I'll tell you I don't know. If I think somebody might know, I'll point you in a direction to get an answer. And if it's a fun conversation, let's have a fun conversation. But I want to thank you guys for listening to me, for tuning in, for taking the time. This has been, as I said, the Overreaction Sports Podcast. My name again is Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. And appreciate you guys. I love you guys. I love this football team. I love this town. Can't wait for next week. Go Bills.
When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Making your cat happy is a number one priority. Priority number two is keeping a clean litter box. Fresh Step Outstretch litter helps you do both. Fresh Step Outstretch litter traps waste at the surface with less crumbles and absorbs more waste and odor compared to Fresh Step Multicat. Find Fresh Step Outstretch litter at a store near you today. Fresh Step is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company. Certain trademarks used under license from the Procter & Gamble Company or its affiliates.
She said, get out the chat room and clean my Glad Stretch. Feeling fine, so fresh.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own High Five moment? Visit HighFiveCasino.com. That's high, the number 5, casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.